At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome into what is unofficially, because I didn't do a good job of keeping count accurately when we first started. But I think we're right around we'll call this episode number 100 of Kabbalion Mac. I don't have anything to celebrate for that. Obviously, Kaboom went out and got an old plastic Steelers helmet that he's displaying on the board behind him.
I mean, getting... What is that? 4 years old, brother.
What is that lid? What? That is not 4 years old.
I got it when I was four, I said.
Oh, Jesus. I was going to say.
I got the whole uniform. I should have put it on.
I was always disappointed when I was a kid and you'd go in the Sears catalog, the Sears wish book right around Christmas time to circle what you wanted. Old man story time here. And they would never have Steelers Hutch uniforms, you know, the Hutch kids size uniforms that you could get with the fake helmet and the fake pads and everything. Never had Steeler ones because in the mid 80s, the Steelers sucked. So you had to choose. Yeah. I always went with Joe Montana. That was the one.
Oh, because he was from Pittsburgh.
Because he was from here. And my mom was like super Catholic. So like he played for Notre Dame. So you had to like him. He played for Notre Dame and he was from here. So you had to like Joe Montana. And the 49ers were good. So that helped. But I didn't even have any Steeler options in the old Sears catalog that you could choose from. It was always disappointing.
Well, I did when I had it, and there it is. And I got the shirt and the pants upstairs, and I got the hiccups right now. But I got
what was the shirt? What was the jersey that came with it?
Oh, that's a big story to do with that. I'm a big Franco Harris fan. You're just going to sound like your audio is going out, but it's just me belching underneath my
awesome
breath. I told you we should have waited, but you don't want to listen.
We told people 10:30.
Yeah. So I wanted the Franco Harris. So for Christmas, I wanted the black Franco Harris one.
Right.
For Christmas.
As opposed to the Italian Franco Harris one?
Black jersey. I got the white Terry Bradshaw jersey.
Were you disappointed?
I cried my eyes out. I was so mad. So I end up getting the Franco Harris jersey returned and whatever.
So you returned the Bradshaw?
Yes. No, I just got the different one, and it turned out to be a white Franco Harris.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
This is going to be awful. It's going to be awful, I'm telling you. I got the hiccups. And I was upset about that, so I finally got the black Franco jersey. And
not the Italian one.
No. And yellow pants that look like mustard yellow. It looks like the throwbacks. All right, quick. Just go do your stuff so why I can get rid of these damn hiccups.
And that's the old plastic helmet that goes with it. Did you rip
this? It's really a hard plastic helmet. I used to beat it against the round because I thought it was cool if it had like scrape
marks on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed the face mask had broke. The old Terry Bradshaw 1971
single bar.
Yeah. It's actually a double bar.
Wow. Okay.
But I gotta get rid of those hiccups.
That wouldn't have protected your head or your face from absolutely anything at all. Welcome into Kabbalion Mac. As I mentioned, we got all kinds of great stuff going on for those of you that support the show. We're gonna get into the football talk in just a second, but I want to handle the business real quick. First of all the clips that we put out this week, and you guys follow Kabbalion Mac on social media. You turn your camera off.
So yeah, because I gotta hold my breath. Hold on.
No, I want to watch that. You refuse to turn the camera back on while you hold your breath. Is it any better now?
Probably not.
Okay. So we'll post it on Kabali and Mac on Twitter, X. But if you retweet those posts that we tell you to and make sure you're following the Kabali and Mac account on Twitter, you'll be in the running to win a free ticket to First and Goal Sports in-store signing with Marc-Andre Fleury, the Flower Kaboom, next Saturday, September 20th. So keep an eye out for those. We only had, like, I want to say maybe 50 people retweet the first couple of videos.
You have a better chance in.
Yeah, so get in on it. Again,
just you're lost.
Follow the Kabali and Mac feed on Twitter. When you see us tell you to retweet one of the clips from this week's shows, retweet it. Make sure you're following. You'll be in the running for that free ticket to the Marc-Andre Fleury in-store signing at First and Goal Collectibles next Saturday, September 20th. You've still got a chance, if you're one of the first 500 Instagram followers, we've got an account there too, to win that $100 Yoli's Cucina and Craft House gift certificate. We're giving too much shit away around here. Plus, we're a little less than 300 YouTube subscribers away from giving someone the option of winning an autographed Will Howard Steelers helmet, Will Howard, or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest. So, and we may have another giveaway next week, Kaboom.
What's that?
Well, I'll say this. I had to stop up Pool City the other day to get the stuff.
I can use it.
No, stop it. This stuff isn't for
you, man. I went to Pool City. I dropped a couple bucks there, so can I get a...
So did I, because I had to get the stuff to close up the pool.
Oh, yeah, where I'm not invited. I forgot.
You're going to be covering the game. You can't come over.
The pregame show is only 9 to 10 this week, so I got 10 to 1.
Yeah, and we're not having people over till like 2 o'clock.
Who has Steeler game parties at 2?
Because we got a whole thing we got to do in the morning for the Dystonia Zoo walk, and we won't be home till probably like first quarter.
Well, anyway. Do it the quick step, and you could be home at 1.
Maybe. Anyway, point is, you'll be down at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium covering the game. Anyway, I went into Pool City to get some stuff to close up the pool. And we might have an item from Pool City to give away.
Foosball? Next. I love foosball.
Maybe a little foosball, Bobby Boucher.
Oh, foosball. I'll buy it off of somebody.
No, the whole point is we give it away to people for listening to the show.
Yeah, then they can sell it to me.
You do whatever you want after the fact.
Well, I would like to see you ship that, Mr. Baseball Shipping Guy.
I'm not shipping that one. They got to go to the store to pick that one up. Thanks to Southwest Greens. They've done a great job of supporting the show since the very beginning as well. If you want to have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance, they are the people to do it for you. They've got a patented system that will give you a beautiful lawn, grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. None of the time or effort or money that you spend on maintenance for your lawn, because they'll come in, give you a beautiful artificial lawn that looks like the real thing, feels like the real thing, perfect for the kids and the pets, and perfect for you too, because you can spend more time enjoying the lawn instead of, you know, maintaining the lawn. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. All right. Mike Tomlin spoke yesterday. Had a lot of very important things to say. The overarching thing was, hey, it's better to learn while winning rather than to, you know, have to worry about all the things you got to fix and you're 0-1. And that, I feel like, has been lost in the sauce a little bit here over the last few days. Rightfully so. We're all concerned about Broderick Jones and the run defense and this and that and the other, that we have kind of lost sight of the fact that I know they gave up 32 points to the Jets, but they scored 34 and they won.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, I know you did a mailbag.
Oh, it was the fans were angry, my friend. Like
a man trying to return soup at a deli.
Very, very, there wasn't many positives coming out of that game. Imagine if they would have lost. But I understand why, though. I mean, first of all, we're just a human race that always look for the negatives. But I think people are a lot of projecting to the future that this cannot hold up against better teams. So that's probably why it's the uproar, so to speak. That's probably why, right?
I get that, but I think it is a good point, and it was one of the first things Mike Tomlin said yesterday. I know we're not allowed to think that things Mike Tomlin says are good, but he made the point, hey, it's better to learn while winning, and they have a ton of young guys. on both sides of the ball, to be honest, not as many on the defensive side as on the offensive side, but a ton of young guys who, especially on the offensive line, are trying to gel and come together. This isn't to make excuses for anything that didn't work or went wrong on Sunday, but it's, hey, despite all that, we're still 1-0, and we're coming home for the home opener. I feel like there isn't enough enthusiasm after that week one win because it was an ugly win over the Jets.
Yeah, it's the fact that they play the Jets. They needed a 60-yard field goal.
Right.
And the two big boys, the line, so to speak, didn't play particularly well. So we're always looking for more of the negatives. I mean, you can sit here and talk about how terrible Broderick Jones was, and obviously he wasn't great. But I didn't hear anybody mention how good Zach Frazier was or how good Mason McCormick was or how pretty much dominant Troy Fautanu was.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about how, Patrick Queen had a very quiet but very solid game. And that's something where it took him a while to get used to last year. We don't talk about stuff like that. We don't talk about how Arie Smith was just like, in the crease, man. In the crease the whole game with his play calling. So I think this week, if you're my question is, Mac, what do you think would happen if they would have won this game 14-12, played dominant defense, and Broderick Jones looked good? Would they be happier now than how it happened?
We'd be bitching about how the offense didn't do enough and Rodgers didn't look great.
And they only scored 14 Smith points. Is not a real coordinator.
Yeah. Mike Cronin hasn't
won a game in
short of winning the opener 35-0. There were going to be things to talk about, right? Because there always are after week one. And now it's about finding ways to fix what went wrong in week one. But I just want people to remember that it could definitely be worse. You could be 0-1 like the Browns and be the Browns, or you could be 0-1 like the Ravens and have had a heartbreaking loss. So you're 1-0, and like I said, you're coming to Heinz for the home opener. It's okay to have a little bit of enthusiasm, I guess, is my point. So with that said, there are still things to talk about. Thanks to Archie. Archie's the best. Supporting Cavalli and Mac. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports is Archie's on Carson. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday nights. Obviously, that would include, as today is a Wednesday, tonight, plus great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas too, daily drink specials. You can always get an ice cold iron, which I will have available once again for our post game edition of the show after what will certainly be a win over the Seahawks. But get to Archie's, especially if you're looking for a place to watch the game with some friends. We appreciate Arch supporting Cavalli and Mac. And get the wings. Highly recommend the wings. As for the guy who I think people have the most complaints about, it was one of the first things the great Jeff Hathorn of 93.7 The Fan had to ask Mike Tomlin yesterday.
You know, certainly it could be better, but certainly all of our performances could be better. As I mentioned, our quarterback got hit too much, and he was a component of that.
Mike, do you worry about confidence with him at all?
I don't.
Why not?
Because it's football, you know? You don't get to the National Football League by being fragile emotionally. You know, there's a lot of confident guys that I work with. You win some battles, you lose some battles, you come back fighting. That's just the nature of the men that play this game at this level.
Will Graves of the AP with the follow-up there. Are you still confident in Broderick Jones and why?
We don't have anybody else, that's why.
this is what I was going to say. And you wrote about it, like I said, in your mailbag. They're going to give Broderick Jones plenty of leash to hold on to this job. And he's going to have to be real bad for a while, for a couple of months, before they consider going to either of the Anderson twins, Spencer or Calvin, in relief of him at left tackle. Or maybe they would move. I don't think they would move Fautanu. Anyway, point being.
They won't touch Fautanu. It'll be more like Andrus Peat in a pinch.
One of the Andersons, Mr. Anderson. Point being, Broderick Jones isn't going anywhere for a bit. That part that Mike Tomlin talked about at the end there, the mental toughness. You're around these guys in a room, maybe not as much as he used to be back in the day, but does Broderick Jones give off the vibe that he's going to be able to handle the adversity of everyone putting him under a microscope every single snap, because he's the starting left tackle for an accomplished Hall of Fame 41-year-old quarterback, and that he can more or less, does Broderick strike you as a guy who can get his shit together?
Well, I think if you just talk to him and see him, I don't think that's an issue whatsoever. I don't think he will be sitting there really down in the dumps or anything to that fact. He's just totally opposite. He's a guy that has really an outgoing personality, likes to have fun, likes to interact with players. Just you can always has a smile on his face in the locker room. The question with him is, can he get his shit together on the field? I think it's separate of him being able to handle the criticism. He comes across as a guy that just doesn't bother. Some people it bothers. Like we said, Cam Hayward uses that stuff as motivation. Broderick Jones probably just doesn't care, doesn't look, and it doesn't bother him. But the problem is that something is just not clicking of what he needs to be at in year three right now. I don't think it's switching left or right or anything like that. He just has to be able to click. And what's concerning to me was not the first sack. The first sack might not have been his fault. I understand what happened. The second sack, he just got overpowered by a smaller guy. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that. I mean, you cannot get bull rushed by a 250-pound edge rusher when you're pushing three bills. And I mean embarrassed pushback. Those things just can't happen. He's a lot smaller, but he's a lot quicker. The good thing for him is there is no option, so he's going to get every chance he can get.
I mean, that's the good thing for him. I don't know how great it is for the Steelers' offensive line if he continues to struggle. And I guess my worry is, like, that's great that he's got everything in perspective off the field and that
back too. But I don't know if he has that mean streak.
That's what I mean. Like, can
he doesn't have that Mason McCormick. Mason McCormick, nicest guy in the world in that locker room. He crossed that white line, he turns into a maniac. And I don't know if Broderick has it.
That's my worry, that he's not able to flip that switch on Sundays. And that it might be a great personality for a human being, right? Like, fun to be around, good dude. But when he gets out there on the field, maybe he doesn't have the ability to flip that switch. And until he shows it, we're all going to wonder, like, can this be the guy? Like, this is a first-round pick you traded up for to start at left tackle, presumably, for the next 10 years and keep whoever your quarterback is. This year, it's Aaron Rodgers. We don't know about the future. But it's always going to be important to have that strong left tackle. And when you trade up to get that dude and you're in year three, still waiting to see that nasty streak come out, it's concerning.
Yeah, you know what? I think of Varsity Blues when Johnny Moxon came in. He ain't worth the Charmin Extra Soft he wipes his ass with. He's soft a little bit, right? But what point does it get to, okay, this is what we got with Broderick. This is what we have. He has his flaws. Now it's up to the staff, the scheme, to help the guy out.
Right, and I think they have the backs to do it, especially in Warren and Gainwell. Those guys, I think, if you want to give him a little help with a chip, you know, a little help in pass protection, I think both of those guys are capable of doing it. It's just a matter of...
You can't do it every time.
Right, you got to get to a point where your left tackle just wants to eat dudes for lunch. And if he doesn't have that up here, no amount of physical skills are going to translate.
Yeah. And that is the difficult part with him, I think. It's just maybe the physicality. Still a very, very young guy. But
I mean, but you made an important observation this offseason when we were talking about another Georgia guy, one of Broderick Jones' Bulldog teammates, Darnell Washington. Yeah. Like, Darnell Washington flipped the switch this offseason when he probably realized, hey, I'm going into a contract year, and I need to figure out whether I want to make the changes necessary. And his were more about, like you said, off the field and getting in better shape maybe or whatever it may have been. But, you know, the point is he recognized it and he made the change. If Broderick Jones doesn't recognize that he needs to make that change, then it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I think he recognizes it. It's just something maybe not in your DNA, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Does somebody need to insult his mama before the game? No, like, what do we need to do?
I mean, sometimes you're just not a prick. I don't know. Maybe you made it this far on your athletic ability being just so much powerful, stronger, bigger than everybody else. Now it's much more to that because everybody's like that. You have to have that edge.
Yeah, and I'm worried you can't find it.
And, you know, what I did notice too is with Tomlin, how many times did he mention, I just don't want my quarterback hit or my quarterback.
Yeah, our quarterback got hit too much, yeah.
I mean, that was a subtle dart that's saying get your shit together. Maybe not to the entire offensive line, but maybe towards him. And what time does it – I don't see Aaron Rodgers going up to Mike Tomlin and saying, man, get this guy out of here. I just don't think he's in that space as a player anymore, Aaron Rodgers.
But no, but he might walk up to Mike and Arthur during the week and be like, hey, we need some help on that side. Yeah. We got to make sure we got some help over there. And then after a few weeks, that turns into, hey, we've been trying to help him on that side. What do you want to do? You know what I mean? Like, people perceive this as like, you know, like an episode of Suits, like somebody's going to walk in and like slam something on a desk and be like, get him out of here. No, like you said, Rodgers isn't going to do that. Nobody is. But it might be more about it builds and it builds and it builds. And we get to week six and beyond. And it's like, hey, we've been trying to help this guy and he's still not getting it done. We got to do something else.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to come out and say that. You know, I don't think.
Well, certainly not publicly.
You know, but I guess Calvin Anderson was hurt for a while, right? If you're looking for options. So he's, you know, he's getting back on that moving train, so to speak. He's had a bunch of starts in his career. I mean, at what point does it's like, okay, maybe we're giving up a little bit by putting Calvin Anderson in, but we might be gaining in the, you know, in the long run. I don't think it's anytime, anywhere near soon.
You could even look at it in the reverse perspective and say, okay, maybe this helps Broderick Jones in the long run to get his ass put on the bench for a few weeks, and it helps us short term because we get somebody who may be more capable on the left side. I don't know. We're still, like I said, weeks away from that, probably months away from that, but it's just something to keep an eye on if Jones continues to struggle on that side of the ball. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show as well. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are busy this time of year. It doesn't mean they don't have time for you though. More than willing to help you find the perfect home for you and or your family, whether you're downsizing, looking for something big, looking to move to a different neighborhood, a different part of town. You don't like crossing all them rivers to get to work. I don't know what the issue may be, but if you're looking to move in the Pittsburgh area, they are the people to help you. The Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com.
What did I tweet Heck team. The other day, man?
What's that?
Well, Dan Heck's a sponsor of my daughter's Thomas Jefferson cheerleading team. So he's helping out the community.
He's a man of the community. I don't know what to tell you.
They're like, thanks to the sponsors. I'm like, I know that name.
Good job by you paying attention, recognizing the name. The other thing we talked, I'll be honest, a ton about this summer. And I was one of the people who fed the narrative, if you want to call it that. Wide receiver position. What do they have beyond DK Metcalf? And we talked about it a little bit yesterday and on Sunday immediately after the game, but they may have found their wide receiver too. And Calvin Austin had a great game, touchdown catch, 4 for 70, a long of 30, was targeted 6 times, looked every bit of a wide receiver too.
All areas, to be quite honest with you. He's a guy that was really limited in his rookie year due to injury. And in spite of that, saw dramatic improvement between year one and year two. And he's such a good professional and has such a good relationship with the game. It's reasonable to expect that to continue. DK gets a lot of attention, schematic attention, personnel attention. And so it created some real opportunities for Calvin. And I know he's game and ready for that.
Notice Roman Wilson. What did he say? Guy hurt his first year, looked better his second year, then breaking out his third year.
Breaking out. Yeah, maybe Wilson will follow that path too, depending on how things progress. But hey, this, in my opinion, I said it yesterday, I don't say completely takes him out of the running for, you know, if the Miami Dolphins decide in 3 weeks that they've had enough of Tyreek Hill on and off the field and the Steelers receiving core is taking a step back and Calvin Austin isn't performing as well against Seattle and New England and Minnesota, maybe they would entertain that thought. But at this point, I think this, the way Austin performed in week one, if it continues as a trend over the next few weeks, I take that concern about wide receiver two completely off the table.
Boy,
I know. Pat yourself on the back. Don't pull a muscle.
I'm telling you, Calvin Austin has always. That's why I was pushing for. That's why I was pushing for them to re-sign him. I mean, he's a free agent next year. He's a free agent. Money contract year. Go out and put up your best numbers and, you know, get paid. So, I mean, you might have lost that because what Roman Wilson – or they think Roman Wilson can be. But the guy is just a professional. And the only thing I was worried about him this year is why they were snooping around for number two receivers was because of the injury that kept him on the shelf for almost a month. And that still couldn't pop up at any time, you know. Then it doesn't say anything about his ability. It just says that he's banged up and playing through injuries right now. He's not 100% right now. And those things pop up from time to time. But I think he's a solid pro. And I think he'll be that for the next 6 to 7 years.
I mean, if he keeps up 4 catches a week for 70 yards, let's just say that's an average.
Yeah, he might be a pro bowler.
40, that's, I'm trying to do math in my head real quick. You told me last night I wasn't any good at math. 68 times. I mean, that's a good 1,100 yards on like 70 catches or something.
As your number two.
That's a hell of a number two.
That's almost like more than the Randy Moss.
That's a really solid number.
I don't think that's going to happen, but.
I don't think so either. So I guess my point is, even if you dialed it back, like let's say he's 3 catches and 50 yards every week on average the entire year, that's still 50 catches for 850 yards. That's even that is a solid number two season. And we end up looking back at this spring and summer and all the hand wringing and moaning and bitching and complaining by everybody, including me, was for naught.
Yeah. I just cringe when I saw a comment from Torsha Jackson.
What Torsha say?
Trade Roman for Tyreek Hill. Oh. I'm assuming this is where this was all going toward, talking to Calvin Austin to coming back. Should they or will they be interested in Tyreek Hill?
No, I told you. That's something that I wouldn't even. Again,
just get charged of something 2 weeks ago. But I guess that doesn't matter. Jabril Peppers was arrested in October, and they brought Cam Sutton back. So I guess that doesn't really mean anything. But
yeah, I mean, unfortunately, if a guy can play football well enough, that stuff has a limited effect.
Well, Jabril Peppers wasn't even good enough to play for the crappy Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Was he not? Or
I don't know.
I mean, my point is. Yeah, the Tyreek Hill thing I take completely off the table. Again, if Omar Khan is a good GM, and I think he's a really good one, makes a courtesy call. Hey, what's going on down there? And if he gets told something, he scribbles that down on a little piece of paper, slaps it up on a post-it next to the desk and says, okay, I'll revisit that in a couple weeks maybe, if I have to. But my point is, if Calvin Austin keeps performing like this, he doesn't even have to. He pulls that post-it down in a couple weeks,
and pulls it up in a ball and they're higher on Roman than they are on Calvin anyway. So it would have to be more than just that.
Yeah. The greater point here in bringing up Calvin Austin and what Mike Tomlin had to say about him yesterday is I don't think the Tyreek Hill thing is realistic. It's good. It's good talk show fodder, right? It's something to kill 10 minutes with on a Wednesday afternoon when maybe there's not a lot to talk about. And it's a name that everybody recognizes. But as far as reality goes, I don't think it's reality. Now, we didn't think Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith were reality either, or DK Metcalf or Aaron Rodgers for that matter. So Omar has surprised us. I just don't think this one is one that he has in his bag. I mean,
that's something if things even go worse in Miami and you're pushing the trade deadline and they just need him the hell out of there.
I mean, if they give him to you for free, maybe.
Yes. Or, you know, equivalently a free, you know, million a year, whatever you're going
to
do.
If they give them to you for a bag of old footballs, maybe you think about it.
But if you're playing well at that point, do you want to mess up chemistry? I mean, I'm being a hypocrite right now because I say, make your own decision on the guy. Don't go with what you believe, what you've heard. So maybe Tyreek Hill, it wouldn't be a.
Well, look, and chemistry has a limited amount. It's not 100% of the conversation either. Like sometimes you go out and you just add a player because it makes your roster better. If you simply went on chemistry and what people said about people off the field,
nobody would like.
Maybe they don't trade for Jalen Ramsey. Hmm. You know?
Jalen Ramsey. You're right. I mean,
I know. Say it again.
Yeah, very, very, very few. According to your picks this past week, you weren't right very much.
You were two games better than me. Cool, your Jets. Thanks to the family.
By 17, that would make me, what, 34 games better than you?
Relax. It's 1 week. R-E-L-A-X. Thanks to the family at Higgins Professional Painting and Wall Coverings for supporting the show as well. They've been doing it for four decades. From Don, the president and founder, and the family who is always out there getting it done for people that just want to, they want to make their homes look better. Whether it's interior, exterior, they could do commercial and industrial painting as well. Drywall repair, they make everything look brand new, especially if you're someone like Kabali and I who's got kids who've maybe destroyed things over the years because kids do that, whether they mean to or not. You want to get things fixed up, get them looking good as new again. They're the people to come on in and get your home looking brand new again, boosting everything from the interior to the exterior, all that curb appeal stuff they talk about. If you're ready to discuss your project with Higgins Professional Painting and get a free estimate, get in touch with them, 412-344-0480, or just go to HigginsProfessional.com. We appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac.
You got a little of that, you know, lime green paint on your wall back up behind you, huh?
It's not lime green. What are you
talking about? It looks like it from here. What is it?
It's not lime green. It's like a very light, cool, not mint. But like a very light, cool.
Oh, mint and lime green is different.
It's almost like a light grass color.
Yeah, mine's like the
basic contractor paint that they put on when they build the house.
Terrible. Look at it and get stains on it. They're like, oh, just paint over it. Like paint over a dirt mark. What are you talking about?
I got too much stuff on the walls in here to worry about what color the wall is anyway. I think it's just fine. Thank you very much.
You're sitting in the laundry room.
I'm not sitting in the laundry room. The laundry room's behind that wall, actually. Anyway, speaking of trading Tyreek Hill for a bag of balls, you had to be the guy. You wanted to try and goad Mike Tomlin into saying funny things.
I'm just looking for a story for later in the week.
Yeah, trying to goad him into...
Roger Jones sucks.
Trying to goad him into talking about balls.
What was the thought process behind the competition committee allowing the kickers to process or manipulate the kicking ball?
The kicking
forehand, and do you think that will help or has helped the boss?
I have zero idea, to be quite honest with you. I'm certainly not a kicking specialist. I'm certainly not a ball treatment specialist. I leave that between Boz and our equipment personnel. I'm aware of the rule that you mentioned, but I've been in this league long enough that I've seen it evolve and come back. When I first got into the league, the guys used to handle and treat the balls and so forth, and then we kind of moved away from it, and now we've kind of moved back to it. And I think that's with a lot of discussions in the National Football League, having been in the league a long time. Things happen in cycles.
Things happen in cycles, Kaboom. Stop asking Mike Tomlin about how balls get
manipulated. I said kicking balls, which is totally correct. You guys are lying to me. He's the one that says he's not a ball expert.
He said he wasn't a ball manipulation, ball treatment expert.
So here's the point of this whole thing is, if you all don't know right now.
Go ahead, give them the rundown. Explain it.
They changed the rule. This year, it's a 26-year-old rule. They used to have the K-ball, you know, the old great K-ball just for the kicker. Mm-hmm. Right before the game, they'd pull it out of the plastic and say, kick it. The thing would be hard as a rock outside. And it's, you know, obviously harder, slippery, harder to kick. This year, they're like, hey. You know what? I think they gave him like a half hour to manipulate the balls before the game, and that was it. Now the guys can manipulate the balls anytime they want and pick out a handful of balls and bring them to the refs and say, we want to use these balls to kick. Broken in, already mudded down, or whatever they have to do that then makes the ball simpler, easier to kick. And that's why you're seeing more 50, 57, 60-plus yard field goals based off of Boswell kicking a 57 and a 60 yarder.
I think any time is a good time for manipulating balls, by the way. I'm always a fan.
You know how they rub the balls down in baseball to get the
They mud them up before the game. So
I mean, these balls, you ever grab a brand new NFL ball?
It's like you just bought it at Dick's. Brand new.
Try to throw it. It's impossible.
Well, they're not throwing it. They're kicking it.
Well, it's very similar. So that was the whole point.
So here's my question. This is more research for your story. Maybe you could dive into. Did the kickers get together to the manipulate the balls, or do they each have their own set of balls?
You mean the kicker and the punter?
No. Like, does Chris Boswell get together with, I don't know, who's the Jets kicker? Nick Folk. Did they get together before the game and say, hey, these four are the best K balls?
No, the Steelers will use. They'll bring in their own balls when they're kicking. So each team, they're like, if you look at third down, they're going to kick him. The Steelers guy on the sideline throws in the ball that he's going to kick. Same goes for them. Just like Tom Brady, he likes his ball soft.
We all.
Right? And some like a little bit more firmer balls.
Yeah.
So this gives I think it was all based on why they changed it. It pretty much put the equipment staff in a pinch to try to get their balls the way they want them within a very limited time before the game started.
You don't want to spend too much time right before the game playing with your balls, is what.
So what I'm saying is, you might see a lot more 60-yard field goals from Chris Boswell.
So interesting. Like I looked up the numbers in the last 20 years. Only 30% of 60-yard field goal attempts have been made. That number is basically on par for what we saw last year as well. Last year specifically, 14 60 or longer field goal attempts, only 4 of them were made. But I think everyone's reacting to Boz's kick, not just because it effectively won the game, but because he had the 57-yarder as well. And that thing cleared the crossbar by another good 8 to 10 yards that, I think we're all wondering now, like, what is Boswell's legitimate field goal range? Like, this could really, honestly, this is not me making any more jokes about balls, but this could affect the way you game plan, or at least once you get into the game, how you decide strategy based on the fact if your kicker can drill 60 yarders regularly. I'm not saying you don't try to progress a little closer into field goal range, more of a sure shot. But like you tweeted it on Sunday afternoon, when they were at that point they were at on the field, you were like, hey, just set up for the field goal now. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, gonna need a little leg for that one. I don't know. But they basically did. And they were fine. Boz walked out there like a serial killer, as Tomlin called him, and didn't even look to the sideline. He just walks out there. Yeah, it's time to kick a 60-yarder and drilled it.
I said, is there any ever kick too far? And you say, no. He goes, no. I'll just go out there. And if they don't want me to go out there, I'll come back in. So anytime the ball's even within range, he just walks out.
But it really does.
Not even in range. It just goes.
Because between that, and I'm not trying to get too nerdy about special teams here. This is a special Danny Smith sponsored segment, I guess.
I'm trying to talk to him. I'm sure he'll have something interesting to say about balls.
Danny will talk to you about balls, I'm sure. But in all legitimacy, with the fact that you saw more kicks returned on kickoffs than ever this past week, or at least in like the last 20 years, it felt like, you're going to have a shot at better field position to start a drive. Let's say you get you catch a kick return at the 5 and you return that thing 25 yards to the 30.
Or you let it go in the end zone, you get the ball to 35. Same thing.
Right. So let's say you're starting to drive at your own 30 or 35. Well, now all of a sudden, if I can count on my kicker drilling a 60-yarder, guess what? I only got to pick up like 20, 25 yards to get into field goal range.
Yeah, especially with the balls being softer.
I was trying to get away from the ball joke.
I'm just telling you, next time you go to Dick's, look for
Dick's an NFL balls. Bally won't stop. Dicks and balls. Ball. Go to Dicks and play with your balls.
And get an NFL ball and just feel how slippery and hard those balls are. And I'm telling you, man, you can't even throw it 5 yards. I see him when they pull him out of the package at the Steelers. I pick his sucker up. I'm like, how does anybody even throw this, let alone kick it?
I mean, you go to the back of Dicks. I mean, the balls can get hard.
I don't even know they have. I got an NFL ball right over there. Now I think about it. I should go fill my bowl.
Don't play.
I cannot tell you where I got this NFL ball. It was many years ago.
Did you steal it?
It probably came off of Chris Boswell's foot. It's a statute of limitations, right? Well, somebody kicked it over the freaking fence, right? Into the, near the river. And when I was walking in my car, I'm like, there's a ball sitting there. I'm like, oh, they must have kicked it over the fence and nobody went and got it. So I just grabbed it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Just leave it there?
Yeah, they gave it up. They forfeited that ball.
It has one of those, it must have been in November because it has one of those military logos on it.
Salute to service logo. Yeah,
salute to service, yes.
Just be careful when you're playing with Boswell's balls, okay? Be gentle.
Well, I mean, when you're trying to figure out before a game where you need to get to, maybe an extra 5 yards of a softball will help.
That's my serious, legitimate football point here is that whether it's the balls, whether it's your kicker being, as Tomlin called him, a serial killer and more than willing to walk out there and try a 60-yarder, and then you compound the kickoff changes on top of that, you might only need 25 yards late in the game to get in field goal range.
Danny doesn't have a lot of time to do other things than worry about special teams, right? His one period a day, his two periods per day. I'm quite sure he knows how far Boswell can kick a brand new ball compared to a broken in ball.
You think they'd try a 65 yarder if the game was on the line?
Absolutely.
67?
Especially what you saw there, right?
Like, what do you think is the point where Tomlin goes, come on, guys, we can't actually.
Some of it has to do with time of the game, what part of the game they're in.
Okay, let's say.
First quarter, forget it. No. Right.
Let's say it's less than a minute, but not, I don't know.
Any chance to win the game, yes. Even if it's within the 2 minutes, yes.
70 yarder?
That will probably have to be last kick of the half.
Okay.
Or last kick of the game, and you're not getting any further.
Right.
I don't think you go for that in 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
That's a lot of time talking about kicking and balls and
dicks. That's what you get here on the show. You don't got it. You don't get to talk about.
You ain't going to get that anywhere.
You're going to get Broderick Jones going to get benched. I'm over him.
I'd like to point out that we only spent 5 minutes talking about a theoretical Tyreek Hill trade and about 15 minutes on balls that you would get at Dick's and how far they can be kicked by Chris.
You know what? I happened to run into Tomlin afterwards. I said, did I really talk about manipulating balls? He goes, yeah, you did. I said, I didn't know. He goes, don't worry. I hang out with a bunch of kids in that locker room, so I'm used to it. And I'm like, he said something worse than me.
He called you childish. That tells me that he's paying attention. He knows what Kaboom is all about. He knew you'd be the one to ask the potentially childish question.
Well, you know what? Hathorn jumped in, and then we have to, nobody allows follow-ups, and Benzie asks his 164 questions because he's sitting on his lap. You know, you can get what you – by the time he comes around to you, you're in the back of the room. I don't have to talk about, cover two man under all the time.
You just wanted to ask the man about the balls. I got it. Look. Third due, first in. We got to appreciate them supporting the show as well. Firefighter and First Responder Podcast. Keith and Gino do a great job of bringing guests in to talk about all kinds of different stories from that walk of life. And for better or worse, we are coming up. You mentioned it the other day, Mark. We are coming up tomorrow on the 24th anniversary of 9/11, which means if you've got a firefighter or first responder who was around for those events and remembers what it was like on that day. And Keith and Gino have talked about it some on their show. They've had some guests on as well to talk about it. It's worth spending some time remembering. Go check out Third Due First In on YouTube and all your social media. Just some enlightening stories, I guess, is the best way to put it from that walk of life. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. What are you squinting at? That you
can't see. It's so small here. Hold on.
Come on. Get it together.
Oh, go ahead. I gotta find it first.
What are you trying to find, at least so I know?
I got it right here. It's tough because you can't make it. Oh geez, this isn't good.
What?
Placed on injured reserve, Steelers, Malik Harrison and Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson on injured reserve?
Steelers have signed Jabril Peppers and promote James Pierre. They signed Logan Woodside, place Malik Harrison and Skylar Thompson on IR.
Skylar Thompson? What the hell happened to him?
He got hurt last week, right before the game, a couple days before. You remember he was going to be questionable if he could even be the number three?
I, to be honest, didn't pay attention to it.
So Woodside's going to the practice squad. Pierre's going to the active. Prepper's going to the active. And Harrison off. Harrison messed up his knee, I think, pretty good. So good thing about that is Deshaun Elliott's not has found his way on the IR. And I saw him yesterday and, you know, I'm like, hey, how's the leg? Oh, I'm good. You know, of course he's going to say he's good. Let's really see. But he had no brace on. He had no crutches. He actually parked in the far end of the parking lot, and he looked like he was walking fine. So you wouldn't – just by that thought, you would say that's definitely not end of the season type of stuff. Might be a couple of weeks, I would assume.
Well, but I like adding – look, and I said after the game, I like the way Chuck Clark and Juan Thornhill stepped in when they got called on a little bit more late in the game after Elliott left and Ramsey started playing a little bit more nickel and outside corner. I was happy with the way Clark and Thornhill played, but Jabril Peppers is definitely more in that Deshaun Elliott mold of a dude who can line up near the line and in the box, thump some dudes in the run game. He can make big hits and also provide you some coverage. Like you asked earlier, like, was he so bad he got cut by the terrible New England Patriots?
You hear some of the stuff that Vrabel said about him?
Yeah.
Very weird stuff.
So this is my point here is everybody is so fast to line up and anoint Mike Vrabel as the next great thing.
You picked them to make the playoffs this year. I said they're going to stink.
I did not pick them to make the playoffs. I did not.
I said they're going to stink.
I didn't say they'd stink. I said even if they improve by 3 or 4 wins, which I think would be pretty significant based on the fact that they didn't do much to their roster this offseason, that would be a very good year for him, right? They'd go from what they have last year, 3 wins, 4 wins. Be a 7, maybe an 8-win team. They're not making the playoffs. All these people that have talked all summer about how Mike Vrabel's going to walk in and the god of coaching. He's Mike effing Vrabel. What are we talking about here? Like, just because he played for Belichick, he's going to be the next Belichick because he's back in New England now? Like, pump the brakes. Mike Vrabel is the most overrated thing, the most overrated storyline from the entire NFL offseason. And I don't know why everybody acts like everything he has to say is some sort of gospel, especially when he's talking about players, and in this case, Jabril Peppers.
Yeah. I mean, off the beat a little bit about this, did you hear what Belichick said? Well, they don't allow me in New England, so why should their scouts be allowed here?
Yeah, and that's gotten really weird too.
That's funny.
Vrabel has said that Belichick is always welcome back. It was I don't know. I
think he might be talking about the owner.
Yeah, I can't even get into that whole thing between Belichick and Kraft, and it's a bunch of nonsense.
Nonsense.
My issue is more with everybody thinking that everything Vrabel says is etched in gold. Like, what are we doing? I think Jabril Peppers is a great pickup. I didn't understand why he was released at the time. Not that I spent that much time paying attention to the Patriots preseason and training camp, but like I said, I think he steps right into the Deshaun Elliott role right away, and you don't skip much of a beat.
Yeah, so learn it. But who drafted him again? 25th, was it? To Cleveland?
Cleveland, I think.
Are they drafted so late? Is that the Baker playoff year? No. It was 17, 16?
Now you're going to make me look it up. It was later than that, wasn't it? Maybe not. You're going to make me look things up. And when I'm looking things up, I'm not talking, which means you're sitting there staring at me. 17.
Well, the number went up too. No, Myles Garrett was number one that year.
So where's the list of picks? Come on.
The Browns, but I just don't know
how to get it. The Browns took Garrett first overall. And they must have traded back into the first round at some point. Yeah, they traded with Houston to get back to 25.
That's
when they took Peppers.
How it almost sounds like now, do like some revisionist history now, If the Cleveland Browns wasn't a bunch of jabrones, and if they would have not picked Jabril Peppers, T.J. Watt would never be a Steeler. Because the Steelers pick Watt four picks later, it looks sounding like Tomlin was interested in Jabril Peppers more than Watt at that point. But I'm just speculating there.
That's an interesting theory. The Browns also picked 29th, and they took David Njoku.
I knew the Njoku one, but they just didn't they just sign? No, they weren't going to take Watt. I forget what happened. There's a reason why that they didn't take Watt. Probably because they drafted Myles Garrett with the first overall pick.
Yeah, that's an interesting interesting alternate reality. Yeah. If the Browns had not taken Jabril Peppers 25th, and he were there at 30 for the Steelers,
because Terrell Edmonds was the next year, I think.
Now you're testing my memory on Terrell Edmonds, but
point being, I'd be a Dave Demeshek thing. What happened if?
Yeah. The NFL. I always love when Dave does that. But I like Peppers, and I, like I said, I think he's going to fit right in because he plays like a very similar style.
Are you sure what he does now?
What?
You liked him. Are you sure what he can do now at age 30 or whatever, how old he is?
29, I think. I still like him. I have no problem with getting Jabril Peppers for nothing. The fact that he was available, I think, is a mistake by the Patriots, who should be doing everything they can.
Why did anybody else take him for the past week and a half, 2 weeks?
Well, didn't you explain the whole thing? If you're rostered for week one as a vested veteran, you accumulate.
Yeah, so you don't have to pay him guaranteed money, but if he's that good, who cares? Unless it did get to that point with a lot of teams, and he's saying, okay, Deshaun Elliott's out, I can play.
Right, and Tomlin admitted yesterday that signing Peppers was a reaction to the Elliott injury. So it's entirely likely they had an eye on Peppers, and they kind of liked him, but they were like, I mean, we got Deshaun, we got Clark, we got Thornhill. We don't have room for another safety.
Peppers, right, that original Mark Barron-like, so for lack of better comparison, where they thought he could play everywhere. That's why they liked him so much coming out of Michigan.
He could
play linebacker. He could play safety. He could be that rover type of guy.
Yeah, and I still think he can do that.
Corner.
I don't know if he'll be out there playing corner.
No, I'm saying when he came out of Michigan. He was Charles.
Yeah, when he came out of Michigan, he could do a little bit of everything. I don't know so much about outside corner and stuff, but you could trust him to play up in the box like an extra linebacker or to go drop back and play center field and do anything and everything in between. And if he can still do that at 75% of what he was when he came out, then that's, I think, a capable replacement for Deshaun Elliott.
One back thing to Broderick Jones right now, and the left tackle is very visible to everybody. The guy can make 64 good plays and two shitty ones.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? That's like a math problem. That's probably an A to an A+. But you see it as a terrible game. But I'm saying those guys are putting under heavy scrutiny, man. If you make up one, you could have the perfect game in the world, and you screw up once in a bad time, you look like crap. And that's a horror. That's
the life of an offensive position, lineman, but
it comes along with a position, but it tells you how much they have to be almost perfect to have a perfect game, right?
Again, when you trade up several spots to get a guy in the first round, you're telling me that you believe that guy is capable of everything that comes with that position. He's capable of blocking like a starting NFL left tackle. He's capable of handling the scrutiny and the criticism that comes with it, and that he's not going to screw up more than once or twice a game, if that. Like, that's what, when you draft a guy between 10 and 15 in the first round as a left tackle, he should be one of those guys.
You know what we did gloss over? The old signing of Logan Woodside, because he went on a practice squad, right?
Right, which
means he'll get promoted here in Friday, because they want to have the third emergency quarterback. Mm-hmm. But what this tell me is Will Howard, you better sign up to the old Cavalli Mac podcast, because you could have a signed Will Howard's helmet very soon, because I think he's on the fast track back to the active roster right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that means for Will Howard actually doing anything. If he's playing in a game this year, I think we're in trouble.
That was but a.
I appreciate your shameless self-promotion.
Shameless way of saying that, you know, you could get a Will Howard because he's probably going to be back on the roster within a couple of weeks.
Get in on the ground floor with Will Howard in the autograph.
Take the steps, take the elevator.
Yeah, be careful. But yeah, you can subscribe on YouTube and be one of those people that could win the Will Howard autographed helmet. Thanks to the folks at Nail Studio 2. Your feet could look and more importantly feel great. And I know you think, oh, it's feet, no big deal. Pool season, beach season, that's all over. I don't care what my feet look like. You don't want to have gnarly toes. You don't want to have gnarly feet. Yeah, Mark doesn't care. I mean, he lets his go. He needs to get to Nail Studio 2. Nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral. Nailstudioii.com or give him a call at 724-941-4595 because it's not just a luxury to have your feet feeling good and looking good. It's everyday maintenance. They'll tackle the calluses, the rough spots, the tired feet, so you can feel and look great, whatever this season throws at you. You can book online, like I said, Nail Studio 2. It's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com, or give them a call, 724-941-4595. Thanks to them for supporting Cabali and Mac as well. There's go ahead.
One thing real quick about this, the nail salon. I hate these algorithms.
Why?
I must have stopped on somebody getting their funky nails cut one time.
No, that's all you get?
I mean, they're like the most disgusting things I ever, and it pops up constantly, and I continuously watch them saying, what is this thing? And it's like, and they start, it's just showing a nail, and there's a voiceover about something totally different. But I'm staring at these really funky nails, and they're...
These algorithms. Like, I'm a dumber. They got this
worse than that, man. They're like in like 107 layers, so they're just peeling them back and stuff. Oh. And they're like this way, and they have to use like pliers, like whatever you call those little clippers.
Snips. Yeah,
not toenail clippers, just like regular things you clip your bushes with. It's like, how's this pop up on my damn thing every time? If I go on it right now, boom, there's one.
You need to redo your algorithm. You need to search for some different stuff.
You know, another thing that one time happened to me?
Huh.
There was something very similar to that of people like digging crap out of people's ears. And I'm just like fascinated by this. And all of a sudden, there it is everywhere I look.
Search some football videos. Or
I do that too, but sometimes you get caught in this algorithm that you can't. Then I go look and I see it. I'm like, oh, don't stop, go. You know, I say that to myself.
You have to yell at yourself not to look at gnarly foot videos.
Can we have an algorithm block? Can we have one of those?
I don't know. I don't know how you do that.
I want to see everything. I just don't want to see 175 toenail cutting. I feel sorry for those people at Nail Studios, too, if they have to deal with that. I'm sure they can. Yeah,
they can. If you got gnarly feet, they'll take care of you. They'll make them look good.
Oh, these are more than gnarly. Check it out.
No, I'm good. I'm not screwing up my algorithm, too. One more clip from Tomlin's press conference yesterday that I wanted to play because – it's something, it feels like we're all worried about it, but we just haven't talked about it in the last couple of days as far as how you can fix it. We all know there's a problem with the run defense. The question is, what the hell's the solution other than Derek Harmon coming back in a couple weeks maybe? And he was asked specifically about Y.A. Black by old Ray Fittipaldo.
Mark talked about this on draft night. He really thought Y.A. could do well over guards and tackles as opposed to most. What is it about his game why is it that way? And can you envision him someday taking on snaps at nose?
Certainly. He could play snaps at nose because he's a big man. He's able to absorb double teams and not be moved. He's capable of playing at further distances, greater distances from the ball because of his length and his ability to cover spaces with that length. And keep people off of his body and play the backside of runs and things of that nature. And so that's what Dunbar was talking about when he highlighted his levels of excitement.
So how effective can Y.A. Black be in helping this run defense get better over the next week or two?
Keanu Benton doesn't get a little bit more stout. And all you got to do is look at the first couple of plays of that game. He can't play nose. I mean, you have to do something. One thing you can guarantee about Y.A. Black is nobody's going to be pushing him 9 yards down the field like the first play of the game.
No, and that's why, like, I know he's a fifth-round pick, and people probably hesitate to plug a fifth-round pick in there right away, but I think it was pretty well regarded after the draft that he was better than a fifth round pick, that they were lucky to get him there. Okay. That he was a little bit more talented, at least physically, you could tell, like Tomlin said there, his size is something. And so you plug him in at nose in the run game. And to be honest, when you go nickel and you take one of those down linemen off the field, keep them in there. I know it's a lot of snaps for a young guy right off the bat, but like you said, nobody's pushing YA Black 5 yards downfield.
Nope. And another thing is when he got drafted, we were figuring at the time that Black would be the nose and they kick Benton outside. It turned out that that was never even in the works at all. That's never even thought about right now back then. But of course, a guy who's played that position so much in college, and a guy who did play some of that position in preseason, you know, the old, I forget the name of it, with the old crooked old nose tackle.
Yeah, Joel the offset Speedy, nose. Yeah.
Offset nose. We saw that a little bit in preseason, so we know he can do it, although I don't think the Steelers do that very much at all.
No, but even if you don't
use – he can do it, that's what I'm saying.
Even if you don't line him up that way, yeah. Like if you have a guy of that size at nose, you force two blockers – to attack him first. You force doubles because
that's what happened to Benton. He got pushed 10 yards back.
Right. And YA Black, if he's when you're drawing that double, it opens things up for other guys up front.
Yeah.
And that's something that I mean, I don't want to call it an easy fix. I don't think there's an easy fix for the run defense because it's been a thing since last year. But that's one thing. I said it before week one, and I'll repeat it until he's getting more and more consistent work. YA Black should be in there. He should be a three down lineman. He really should. Yeah. I mean, if it's down to two linemen, it should be he and Cam Hayward until Derek Harmon comes back and shows that he's ready.
Yeah. You know, it's, I forget what I was going to say here. I was going to make a great, great point. You made
I'm sure you were.
It was something about the defensive line. What was it? That's that damn CTE kicking in. Who used to tell me that?
You should have had a better helmet than that one you got back there on the bar.
I got the Bell Vernon Leopard one.
That's no good either.
Whatever. I was talking about something defensive line-wise. It doesn't really matter. Oh, yeah, Peyton Wilson. Wonder why Peyton Wilson struggled so much because he first time he probably really got slammed by a couple. He wasn't running free, right?
Yeah, he had guys in his lap right off the snap.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Queen could be like that too, but he's a little bit more experienced to be able to get around it. If you're looking at Peyton Wilson, say, I thought you said he was great. Yeah, he had a very good spring. But, and if the pre-regular season is a little bit different, he's going to have to keep some people off of him. And that was the issue yet on Sunday.
One thing I did want to bring up, and we'll talk about the Seahawks maybe in a little bit more detail over the next couple of days. They had an injury this past week in week one in their loss to the Niners. Nick Emmanuari, the rookie. Safety, who they were going to use, like we were talking about with Jabril Peppers earlier, who they were going to use Emmanuari all over the place, lining him up in the box, stuffing the run, like an edge sometimes, dropping back to play center field. He's out for a while. They may have even placed him on IR, which means they're going to play probably a much more vanilla look in the secondary, especially when they go nickel. Josh Jobe, I think, is who got the majority of the snaps once Emmanuari was out with the high ankle sprain. And so, look, it's kind of like it reminds me of something Aaron Rodgers said during training camp in the preseason when he was talking about the difference between preseason games and joint practices. And in those joint scrimmages, you won't get the same base vanilla coverages because people aren't worried about it being put on tape. If Aaron Rodgers gets some more vanilla coverages to look at against Seattle because Josh Jobe can't do the same things that Nick Emmanuari is able to do in simply lining up, regardless of where he goes after the snap, I think it opens it up again to maybe Rodgers utilizing the tight ends and Metcalf and finding guys early, getting into a quick rhythm right off the bat.
Yep. Play action, too.
Yep.
Play action is – they had three of his four touchdowns were on play action, I believe. Not the one to John O. So, yes, I mean, that's what's good about having a veteran quarterback like that. He knows how to take advantages of you know, stuff that maybe pop up during the game rather than the scheming for. As Tomlin says, you know, you're basically going in blind to this, really. I mean, I guess you had some film last year on Seattle staff, but you still don't play him that much. So yeah, to be able to be light on your feet, especially offensively, should help them a lot. I've been saying I don't think their defense is going to give up 100 yards rushing or anything like that this year. This week, I think the Steelers' defense is going to be, you know, pretty much up to the task here. It's just whether the offense can continue that on this path they started against the Jets. I like their chances this year.
If they have a fairly convincing victory against Seattle on Sunday, let's say 27-17. I don't know. We'll throw that out there. Do you think people stop bitching about stuff, or will we still have things to complain about?
Hell no.
Okay. I didn't think so either. Bitch
about Tomlin's clock management is going to cost him one day, or this is Pittsburgh, man.
It's a fair criticism. His clock
management. You win the Super Bowl, 34 Super Bowls in 6 years, and still complain about it. You complained about Ben Roethlisberger for 10 years. Now you wish you had him back 5 years later, right?
The irony. Yeah. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. You want to get your furnace checked out before it gets chilly out there? By all means, you can message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or just give them a call, 412-297-1852. Going to be warm this weekend. Maybe you fire the AC back up and it sounds weird or it's not doing what you want it to do. They'll check that out as well. Tell you if it's just a maintenance issue, repair, replacement. They do it all. We've had them in our house and absolutely love the guys from Impact HVAC. Check them out, like I said, on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. They've been on board since the very beginning here on Cabali and Mac. So tomorrow you will talk to the coordinators, right?
Well, it depends. I'm looking for one specific one who chews gum, but sometimes he does not like to talk to us.
I'm sure he likes to talk to you.
Well, first of all, it's required for a coordinator, but doesn't mean he's like, I'll get you next week. I'm like, it doesn't do me any good next week, Danny.
I'm sure Danny would like to have a conversation.
Danny's high maintenance.
But Danny, I think, will know that you were the one that asked the question about the K-balls. And I would think that would interest him greatly in talking to you.
Yeah. There's only so many times he can say Boz is great.
But I want more details on the preparation of the balls. I want to know how the balls are. I want to know how the balls are handled.
I mean, thing is, they do have to be. I know that they have to be. They bring a set number of balls, and the refs have to go through them and say, "Nah, we can't use this crap. Get this the hell out of here." Or, yeah, that's fine.
Well, you'll do that tomorrow, so we'll start a little earlier.
Hopefully.
So you can get down to Southside to talk to the coordinators. We'll start around 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Aaron Rodgers will probably talk here about 3 o'clock.
Interested to hear what Aaron Rodgers has to say. No grudges to hold against the Seahawks, I don't think. So
DK Metcalf. Ooh.
Yeah, that's
it. Next week, Jabril Peppers. Ooh. You got any Vikings?
Vikings.
No. Tomlin used to coach at Minnesota.
Brian Flores.
No, Mike Tomlin didn't really like a former coach from a long, 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 long time ago, but I won't leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Then always can figure it out.
Wait, he doesn't. There's someone on the Vikings staff?
Not currently.
I'm not going to go through the trouble if you're not going to just tell me.
Yeah, I got.
All right, leave it at that. We'll do it again tomorrow. Don't forget.
Why is 7-Eleven texting me? What the hell is this?
What?
Thanks for joining 7 Rewards. I don't even know what 7-Eleven or 7 Rewards is. Who the hell texted me this?
I don't know. Maybe you get a free slushie out of the deal. Check it out.
They're trying to steal my personal identification or something.
Probably. It's probably a phishing scheme. So don't click on anything, okay?
I'm going to click on anything.
Don't forget to follow Cabali and Mac on Twitter. If you retweet the clips from this week's episodes, pay attention. We'll tell you which ones to retweet. It'll get you in the running for a free ticket to that Marc-Andre Fleury signing in store at First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village next Saturday, September 20th. We thank them as well for providing the autographed Will Hard helmet and the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. Your choice, which one, if you win the drawing, will hold when we get to 3,018 YouTube subscribers up over 2,700 now. What?
Trying to do my Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What? So, yeah, make sure you're following all the social media and on YouTube. Kabali and Mac. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks to each and every one of you for joining us here. We appreciate you.